Young folks, I just really hope and pray that you respect that flag. Amen. Older generation, I hope and pray that you respect that flag. Amen. There's many men and women before us who have died for your rights and freedoms. I love that video. I haven't seen it in a while, and I just thought that this is a good time to have something to remind us. And we're going to talk about today a nation in need. How many can agree that we are a nation in need? Amen. Now, I noticed here that nobody's in my splash zone. We have many front row Baptists, but nobody's in my... I went to SeaWorld yesterday with my grandson. There was a lot of people in the splash zone there at SeaWorld, but nobody wants to sit in my splash zone. What's up with that? I don't have a lot of witty in this message. It's a pretty solemn message. I will remind you, last time I was up here behind the pulpit, right before that, my wife said that I was right. You remember that, Brother Rick? She has since rescinded that, and she said it will never happen again. So I was right once, but it didn't last long. Amen. But did you know that for those of us that are married, isn't it great there, men, when you get married, you get a driving instructor, a landscaper, a nutritionist, a personal manager, an account manager? It is amazing, isn't it? If you have your Bibles with you this glorious, glorious morning, and I would hope, being that you're here in church this morning, that you would quickly turn them to Psalm 33, and in a moment we're going to look at just one verse from there, and then we're going to move over to 2 Chronicles, but Psalm 33, and we're going to look at verse 12. The Word of God has much to say about the blessings that a nation enjoys. It has much to say about the blessings that a nation enjoys, and I desire for us this morning, to begin this morning by reading these words found right here in Psalm 33. In verse 12, it states, blessed is the nation, get this, whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation, what's that say? Whose God is the Lord. And the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Heavenly Father, I just pray as I have a little bit of nerves this morning. Been a while since I've been behind the pulpit. I just pray to settle those nerves. We have much on our hearts here, much to think about. So much devastating news here, and especially the past few days. So much going on. But I am thankful that I live in this nation. I'm thankful that I can claim to be an American. And although I may not agree with everything from Washington, I'm thankful that I am here. I do pray for our national, state, and local leaders. I pray for our churches across America, and I pray that they are truly spreading the good news, the gospel message. I pray that I can bring something for somebody's ears here today, and maybe they can hide it in their hearts and find the application for their time. We do love you so very much, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shortly, if you'd like to find it in your Bibles, and some of you may take some time, but stay right there in the Old Testament, we'll be looking at some scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And as you're turning there, listen to this. Of all the nations which have ever been established, of all the nations conceived or made, the United States of America, without a doubt, is the greatest nation to ever grace the face of the earth. As a superpower, we are a superpower. Our ability to change leadership without firing a shot serves as a model to the rest of the world. The ways in which we conduct business and enjoy freedom are the envy of millions of people around the world. And yes, even during these times of distress. How many of us can agree we're in times of distress? During the founding of this great nation, our leaders were deep thinking men. I sometimes wish we had more of those deep thinking men as we found with our founders of America. Their intellect was unsurpassed. If you read the founding documents of this wonderful nation, you would discover that we have few, if any, who think as deeply as the likes of Franklin, Jefferson, Adams, and even Hancock. Additionally, though, get this, church. These men were deep believers. Although modern-day history, just look at what is going on these days, modern-day history attempts to cover the true spiritual roots of this nation, and schools fight hard to do that, any self-respecting historian is forced to concede that our forefathers came to this place to have and to offer religious freedom. Their beliefs were deep enough to place at stake their lives, their livelihoods, and their families. They gave themselves to principles. They gave themselves to ethics and to morals. And yes, a belief that to succeed, God would have to bless them. Why have we forgotten that today? As it is stated by many of our founding fathers, we would need God's hand to guide if there was to be a future for this glorious nation that we live in. Just 2 days ago, July 4th, we celebrated 249 years of independence from that king of Great Britain. When the 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence, they knew the risks. They knew the situation. But most of all, they absolutely knew the need of this new land. And today, those spiritual foundations and moorings have been all but demolished, even uprooted by leaders who do not think as deeply and certainly not as spiritually. We have now become world leaders in all the things like evil, world leaders in all the things like violence and immorality, and that list can go on and on and on. Church, if something does not change, God will have to judge the United States of America, and this is the reality that we must understand. My friends, we are a nation. We are a nation in need. No, we are a nation in desperate need. Let's take a look here at 2 Chronicles, yeah, I almost sent you clear to the New Testament. I'm just testing y'all. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And this relays to us a story about a good and godly king of Judah named Asa. Actually, there in chapter 14, verse 2, it tells us Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. I like the final part there, Lord his God. And that the land had peace for 10 years. And King Asa took a good nation, he took a good nation and he made it better. He saw the needs and he gave leadership to the people. Shall we read about this? Hopefully gain some knowledge from our text. Starting with verse 1, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you, while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Verse 10, so they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into the covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord of God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Wow. That whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Verse 14, and they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Of all those 15 verses, don't you like that last sentence? And the Lord gave them rest round about. Rest on every side. I'd like some of that rest. We've had grandchild after grandchild after grandchild in our house. I've shared this with some. We're empty nesters. All that noise. Wow. I'd like some of that rest. Amen. Oh, wait, they're all back home. Amen. I wonder, though, just how did that happen? Well, my friends, it is safe to respond that they were blessed of God. Like really how the beautiful United States of America was blessed in the early days. And I truly believe that this country was blessed in the early days. And folks, the truth is this, I'm concerned for my children. I just mentioned my grandchildren, believe it or not, I have 8 of them. I'm concerned for my grandchildren, but I'm concerned for your children. I'm concerned for your grandchildren. And when I consider how this country has turned her back on God in the last 15, 20 or more years, and realize how everything is speeding up even more during the recent days, I fear where we will be in the next 10 or 15 years. Some will say that we are still under God's blessing. But I say this, we are in need of God's blessing. We are a nation in need of God's blessing. I want you to quickly, I do only have 3 points, but they're not too short. Hey, pastor's gone. He said, I have 3-4 hours. Kyle said, it's okay. 2 weeks ago, I preached at a small church, and I got done, and April said, man, you preached a long message. I looked, it was over an hour long. You'll get to lunch, don't worry. I want you to notice with me the conditions for God's blessing. The conditions for God's blessings, and although we do not care to admit it, and oftentimes we don't, God has conditions which he places on us. You realize that? He has conditions that he places on us, and God gives us conditions for his blessings. And there are at least three reminders here. First of all, that the Lord is with you when you are with him. Oh, wow. The Lord is with you when you are with him. When you get with God, he will get with you. It's plain and simple, Texas talk. When you get with God, he will get with you. But second, if you seek him, then he will be found by you. It's not really an earth-shattering concept there, but it's so true. If you seek him, then he will be found by you. And I'm just curious, have you ever wondered why we do not see God's hand in our lives? Have you ever sat there and wondered why you don't see God's hand in your life? Or have you ever wondered why sometimes we don't see God's hand in our church or here in our nation? I once read that when the first cosmonaut went up into space, he said this. He said, "I saw God nowhere." Then John Glenn went up. He went up into space and said, "I saw God everywhere." Now, folks, I spent 10 years in the Marine Corps. I've been to almost everywhere. And everywhere I've been, I've seen God's work. Even in the desert, while in Desert Storm, I saw God's work there. I don't understand some of it. When I was in Iceland, Iceland is one of the most beautiful countries you could ever visit. Myanmar, one of the poorest countries you could ever find. Buildings just stacked upon each other. I went past one building that out of the third floor window, a full-grown tree was growing out. It was so dirty. There where the sea comes in to Rangoon, they said, "Don't put your feet in there. There's so much waste in that water there, it'll just get all over you. You'll get contaminated. It's so dirty." But when I went through and we took tours and went on the buses and we were there on a missions trip, I saw God's work in everything. So beautiful. It's glorious. Church, if you seek him, he is available. He is available. And third, if you abandon him, here's the one that nobody wants to hear. But if you abandon him, and I am telling you right now, some of you, even here, have done just that or will do just that. See, I'm a blunt preacher. I figure you just got to tell it like it is. It must be that 10 years in the Marine Corps, I don't know. But let me tell you, then he will allow you to go choose your way. He'll allow you to choose your way. And surely, my sweet friends, if our God is a God of love, then he will never abandon us. He will not abandon you, but he will allow you to choose your path. He will. Right or wrong, you pick that path. Or how about this one? You can pick him. Or you can pick the world. In fact, doesn't the Bible teach that he will never leave or forsake? Listen to this verse from Deuteronomy chapter 31. "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Hey, Christian, this is talking to you. God will not leave you. But he does allow us the choice to follow or sadly to forsake him. We just heard the conditions for God's blessings, but now let's hear the consequences without God's blessing. And the consequences are clear and costly. And by the way, the parallel to, for the United States of America is striking. I want you to think about this. The land is filled with chaos. Some of you probably watch CNN, but just turn it on. Turn on Fox News, Newsmax. Oh, please, young folk, don't get your news from TikTok. It's only a little reliable. I love going through and hearing some of the nonsense on TikTok. I'll be honest. I was telling the men's class, though, last week, if you want some good preaching, Bigfoot is preaching on TikTok. There's videos of Bigfoot preaching, and he actually is preaching KJV Bible scripture and doing a pretty good job. So Pastor Riggs and I might get replaced. The land is filled with chaos. I kind of mentioned this, but I mean, how many of you watch the news every day? April and I, we get up every morning. We watch the local news so I can see if I can get to work or not. We watch the weather. Then we go between Fox News. CNN never comes on in our house. MSNBC does not ever come on in our house. Newsmax, Fox News. And then we alternate and go. But if you watch those, if you scroll through your social media lately, you know, that Facebook or X or Instagram or TikTok or YouTube or whatever's popular these days, I don't know, y'all probably have a different one now. I mean, have you read the many articles being printed lately? By the way, they do still print a newspaper, Linda. You can go get a printed newspaper back from the dinosaur days, right? Not saying you're a dinosaur. Let me clarify. Mike said that, but I didn't say that. It's okay. Or internet-based. You can see that this land is really filled with chaos. And Scripture tells us that there was no teaching priest and no law. It was right there in verse 3, no teaching priest and no law. And when there is no one that is teaching right from wrong, everyone is free to do what is right in their own eyes and minds. Do you get that? If nobody's teaching right from wrong, then you're just free to do what you think is right in your mind. Now, as good Christians, we know better than that, right? Amen. If there are no correct teachings going on, then there are no laws being promoted. And again, everyone does what is right in their own minds. And folks, when this happens, it leads to so much confusion, and it surely progresses to mass chaos. And once again, look around America today. I mean, people are confused about the most foundational, the most fundamental issues, and chaos now exists, a chaos about what is right and wrong. People should know, but they don't. And that leads to chaos. But it also leads us that this land is filled with conflict. How many of us can agree with that? In Asa's Judah, there was no peace. And today, conflict rages from the house to the schoolhouse to the White House. By the way, everything's Trump's fault. I'm going to speak long today, and that's Trump's fault. So just remember that. You make sure you let him know it's his fault. Honestly, my friends, we can surely track its beginnings in this country and think about it. It all began when we started removing God from our schools. It all began when we started removing God from our government and other public places. And this is when the conflict began. And over the last 40 years, it has grown to where we are now. And I'm glad to hear some of it's returning, but not fast enough. Also, though, the land is filled with corruption. I know none of our politicians are corrupt. I understand. Verse 3 of our text passage told us that for many years, Israel, the people of God, right? The people of God had been without a true God. That's what it said in verse 3 of our text. And church, corruption comes when there is no God. And quite simply, the result of this is devastating for a nation, including the great nation that we live in, the mighty United States of America. Without God, there's little to pass along to the next generation except more of what we have seen in these recent days. And considering the consequences of being without God's blessings, take one more look around the United States. Take a closer look to see the reality, the hurtful and devastating reality of our situation. This is a touchy subject that I'm going to say, but today we kill the unborn at an alarming rate. Oh, the Supreme Court ruling, folks. We kill the unborn at an alarming rate. And in fact, it is my personal observation, it's my personal belief that animals get more protection from the law and society than unborn humans. Right. Folks, abortion is at an alarming rate. Let me give you this stat. I just looked it up. I know the ruling. But over 2,800 lives are murdered daily, if not more. 2,800. The stats show that in 2024, it was an estimated 1,038,000 abortions that were provided by clinicians in states without bans. By the way, this stat does not include self-managed abortions. 1 million lives! Our animals get better protection than those unborn humans. And by the way, that is a pandemic that this world has been and is currently facing. Listen to this brief illustration. This actually happened in California, and I read about it not too long ago, but living there in California, there was a man. He was imprisoned and fined for killing a grizzly bear. This is California. He killed a grizzly bear as he was being mauled while walking his dog. And yet we'll take a baby's life without blinking. We view violence in video games and on television, which gives our society a faulty view of life and death. By the way, real death, you don't just pop up and come back from. This Christian nation that we live in has elected politicians on the city, county, state, and national level of which their views of the Bible are questionable at best. See, I hope that you sit here today and understand the cost of walking away from God. That cost is high. It's extremely high. So as you ponder that, what are we to do? What was done in Judah? Well, church, this is reality. We are a country. We are a nation in need. But somebody might say to me this morning, what exactly are we in need of? I think you're hearing it. We've talked about the conditions for God's blessings, and we've reviewed the consequences without God's blessings, and now we will listen to the channel of God's blessings. And if we are to experience God's blessings once again, then we need to learn two things from our passage. Two things. One, we need godly people. We need godly people. It seems to me that the people in Judah were very grateful for a leader who would step forward and who would provide fresh leadership. They became godly by their attitudes and their actions. And notice, they recognized their corruption. Well, where do you find that truth? Well, the fact that they came with a mind to worship. The sacrifice would have not taken place. A worship would not have been experienced. And what follows would not have been recorded had this people not recognized their own corruption. This was and is the starting point for a nation. By the way, not just a nation, but for a church. Not just for a nation or a church, but maybe for you as an individual. While we do not care to admit it, corruption does exist in each and every one of us. By the way, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, and you know what? So are you. And we came here to hear about Jesus, and let me tell you, if you're here without Jesus, you need him. You need him. Because he's the only way. When we refuse to acknowledge our sinfulness, there will be no change in us because there is no reason to change. However, when we admit our corruptness, God moves in to help, and he will help us. He will show us the way. But also notice they responded with a covenant. A contract is based on law. How many of you have written or read contracts? It's all based on law. While a covenant is based on love. A contract is generally about property. While a covenant is about people. When the people came to realize their condition and that their condition was impacting their family and their futures, they responded to God in the form of a covenant. This was a simple one which said, I will seek the Lord. Look there in your text at verse 12. It tells you right there. But remembering their history, they carried it to the next level. You see, I will seek the Lord with all my mind and all my heart. Here's where it gets personal. How about you? How about you? Can you sit here this morning in God's house and be honest with yourself and say the same thing? I will seek the Lord with all my mind and all my heart. But also notice they required a commitment. These people were so grateful to the Lord that it was not enough to take the oath themselves. And as part of this agreement, they instituted a no-tolerance. I think we should do this, by the way, a no-tolerance policy for those who would not seek God. You see, because verse 13 of our text says this, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Think about it here. Capital punishment for those who would not seek God. Now, obviously, we don't really want to do that, right? But look at what it says right there. Capital punishment for those who would not seek God. You think that would work down there in Mexico, their brother did? Whew. They also rejoiced in their correction. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 14 gives a biblical picture of a worship service. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. I mean, can't you really visualize it, hear it? You can hear their church service. And the Bible says a loud voice. That's everyone shouting to the top of their voices. I'm not even close to the top of my voice, by the way, there, y'all. You don't want me to shout and yell in here. It says trumpets and cornets, you know, ram's horns. They wanted everyone to hear. Doesn't Town East want everyone to hear? 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 15, it says, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Isn't that a glorious verse? they also rested in their connection. And this is where we actually began this morning. I kind of went rewind on it. And the Lord gave them rest. And in God's presence, there is a fullness of, there is fullness of joy. There is love. There is peace. There is contentment. And please remember this, the list really goes on and on and on. Two, though, we need some godly leaders, wouldn't you say? Not ones that just smile and say it on TV. We truly need some godly leaders. There are several phrases in the Bible which leads me to believe that King Asa was a godly leader. But 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 8, and it says here, "And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord." He took courage. You know, this shows us that Asa led with courage. And let me tell you, folks, it takes courage to make needed change. Here quickly, and we are getting ready to wrap up, I promise you, but look at four things that he did. First, he removed the idols. He removed the idols. Anything. Oh, my friends, anything which takes our focus off God is considered an idol. Anything. And in this country, unfortunately, we have placed many things before God. Here, let's be blunt again. But most of us go into the voting booth these days to vote their pocketbook instead of being based on biblical principles. It's the truth. What's it going to do for me? Instead of what's it going to do for God? Second, he renovated the house of worship. Let me ask you, have you ever driven through a community to look at the landscape of that particular area? Have you driven through the old part of town and given it an honest evaluation? Generally, it looks tired. Doesn't look like me, but it looks aged. See, I shaved my beard so I look younger. That's what Kim said. I look like 15 years younger. It's nice. All the students I've talked to says, "When are you growing your beard back?" Many times, if you go to some of these older neighborhoods, they're JD. They look abandoned. They just look empty. On the outskirts of the town, there might be some new buildings, some new architecture, some new energy, some new growth. Well, focus your attention on the church buildings with the same discerning eye that I just gave you for those parts of town, and you will discover the exact same characteristics of the church. See, the church buildings or the houses of God many times look like relics from a former day. While the houses of people are state of the art. It's reality. And when I observe this, I am reminded of Haggai, their chapter 1. Verses 1 through 7, it tells us, "The high priest saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and the house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Third here, he reunited the people. He gathered everyone together. Asa knew the importance of building unity among the people and something that today's leaders seem to lack. Look at some of these protests and these riots and these demonstrations. Nobody wants to unite together anything. We just want to attack each other. You know, the old song states a principle, and I used to say this a lot when I was with the United Steelworkers. United we stand, divided we fall. And fourth, he restored authentic worship. He turned the people's heart toward God and led them to offer sacrifices to the Lord. And by the way, this is a great message for us. Folks, you really need to take a moment to look around and fully understand that our country, our great country, is a nation in need. In need of having a relationship with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And friends, that is the answer. That is the complete answer to our need. This is the only thing which will heal our land. A much needed healing during these tragic and difficult times. And here it is, the one and only extremely powerful prescription for the healing that we require as a nation. See, Scripture says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, there in verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The only way that this land will get healed is if God hears from heaven and then forgives our sin. As we prepare to close here this morning, this simply means that we have to admit, we have to repent of our sin. Some might sit here and say, well, what exactly does it mean to repent? Well, let me just remind you, humble themselves. Insert themselves with ourselves, humble ourselves, and pray. And seek my face, but don't forget that last part, and turn from our wicked ways. In closing here, this is the need of this great nation. And quite frankly, it's the need of every person living within this land. Every head bowed and every eye closed here this morning. Going to have a time of invitation. I do ask that nobody look around. We'll have some music to starting to play here softly in the background. I'm going to open up this altar here. Maybe something from this message touched your heart, or maybe it's something else that wants to bring you forward. We know the devastating news that we've received. I do want to thank you for your attention this morning, and we did hear today about a nation in need. And we examined the conditions for God's blessings. And first, the Lord is with you when you are with Him. When you get with God, He will get with you. Second, if you seek Him, then He will be found by you. If you seek Him, He is available. Then we considered the consequences without God's blessings. One, the land is filled with chaos. Two, the land is filled with conflict. And three, the land is filled with corruption. Then we observed the channel of God's blessings. We need godly people. We need godly leaders. Won't you come today? The altar's open. Come to this altar and pray for our nation. Don't pray for me, pray for our nation. Pray for our people.
Just as I am.
Pray for our leaders.
One plea, but that thy blood was shed for me.
The altar's open, the holiest place within our church.